to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now is the Time. It's my privilege to welcome to the Mobile Pro podcast booth here at Hotel Candelaria, stove crew number 4, numero 4, and our mission photographer for the week. I'm going to have them introduce themselves, starting with Kristen.
Kristen Teagarden from Santa Clara, California.
Anne Teagarden from Santa Clara, California.
Michael Behrens Van Heest from Oregon, Wisconsin.
Christina Nice from San Jose, California.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So this was our last day. I can't believe it's our last day. Mm-hmm. And you had an opportunity to go out and see some of the sights of Antigua. And let's start there, and then we'll kind of move backwards and hear about your experiences during the week. But tell me what you did today, and especially tell me what you ate, because we're always curious about, and Christina's a foodie, so we're taking mental notes. Tell me what you did today and what you ate.
I went up to El Tenedor on the hill, which is the fork on the hill. I thought that was a funny name. And we had the breakfast buffet. And so I had some things that were kind of American, like pancakes. And then I had some things like cheese tortillas and pork tortillas and tamales, which are not normal breakfast food for me. So I ate that. And we did some shopping at a little market that was up there on the hill and enjoyed the ride up and down the hill.
What did you buy at the market? Or did you buy it or did you just shop?
No, I bought some bookmarks to bring back to friends that have helped us with getting here, and some little zipper pouches. So I think that was about it.
Describe for those who've never been at the Fork on the Hill. Describe why people go way up on this hill to eat breakfast.
One reason is that there's a gorgeous view at the top. And there's beautiful flowers and gardens. It's just a very beautiful venue. And the food is also fantastic. I think it's done by the 5-star hotel, Santo Domingo. Mm-hmm. So between the food and the view, it doesn't get much better.
What about you, Kristen? What did you do today? What did you eat?
Let's see. So first I went up to El Tenedor with my mom, and I had breakfast there. And I had pretty much the same things that she had, except I also had an omelet.
Mm-hmm. Where they made it for you, like a custom omelet? Mm-hmm.
It was
so
very
cool.
Good. Yeah. And let's see, we went to the market up there, like she said, and I got a few things for some people back at home. So,
little Guatemalan handicraft things? Or
got like a headband and like a couple little zipper pouches.
Now, sometimes they have ladies actually making some things. Did you see anybody doing that?
Near the end, I think I saw a lady making one of the large rugs, I guess. I don't know.
Tablecloth?
Yeah, tablecloths, yeah.
The guy who was painting the birds?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we also got a bird, a little clay bird, and we saw him making the bird, and it was amazing. He just whipped the bird out of the clay.
Oh, he watched him make it out of clay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, really?
They're amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's fun. We also went to some ruins, Capuchin, the nunnery.
Right. I can't remember how to pronounce
Lunas
it. I
know. Capuchinas.
Thank you.
Ruinas Capuchinas.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And that was...
Oh, that's the really beautiful place here, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Was it really?
It was neat. It was beautiful. Yeah, and it was hot.
Yes. We got to sing Amazing Grace and down in this lower story room that was like a circle, and there was big poles to support the room in the middle. And it was really cool because the acoustics were really, really nice.
I heard a recording of this. Was Pastor Stewart there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. He's like, dude, you gotta hear this. And, he whips out his phone, and it's got this amazing, long, sustained echo that is gorgeous. And he said that you guys stood around the outside of this room. It's like a circular room, and you can. It sounds like you can hear the person right next to you, but they're on the other side of the room because of the acoustics. Is that wow. And then, so you guys sang Amazing Grace, and it just sounded unbelievable, right?
Yeah, it was very cool.
I mean, even on his iPhone tiny little speaker, it sounded amazing. It's like, wow. Neat. Cool. Michael, what'd you do today? What'd you eat?
Well, I'm a little bit ashamed to admit what I had for lunch, but when I go on to give you the story, you'll understand why. So, I did have McDonald's for lunch, but I had McDonald's for lunch with
a Guatemala.
Doña Evita, Doña Sonia, Doña Ana, with seven of the kids from Paso a Paso.
Get out of here, really?
I was with Jesse and several others from the mission this week who were able to go and meet with their sponsor children. And here I'm admitting, well, you know, I eat McDonald's once every couple weeks with my family because it's easy. My daughter likes it. And here we're talking to these Guatemalan kids, and all but one of them had never been to McDonald's.
Wow.
And so they were just so fascinated with the play center, and they played, and they, you know, it's such an interesting kind of cultural experience because here's the kids are eating half of their cheeseburger and half of their fries and leaving the rest and putting it back in their box and very clearly intending to take that home with them.
Wow.
And then we went and bought them ice cream, and they're all talking about how full they were. So, you know, what we would consider to be just kind of our average meal was clearly much more than they're used to eating. So it's a really kind of interesting cultural exchange where they were eating something from our culture, and yet it was very different from what you would expect it to be.
That, first of all, that's... First of all, you're forgiven. Second of all, we just always tell team members this is the last day. You have an opportunity to eat amazing food in Guatemala. And I can't. Every week we have somebody who's like, oh, I'm dying for McDonald's. I'm dying for burger. I'm dying for pizza. And I'm like, please.
We did have crepas for dinner, which were excellent.
but this is very different because, like you said, none of these people had been to McDonald's before. And what's difficult for people to understand that do not live here is anything that's associated with the U.S., first of all, is more expensive. So retail stores like Walmart or what have you, it's, things are much more expensive here at Walmart than there because everything's imported. Mm-hmm. And fast food, even like McDonald's, this is not cheap fast food here. It's more expensive. And because it's American branded, it's special. Like that is like, that's a real, in fact, when I first came to Guatemala, I was dating my wife, who's Guatemalan. My guide told me, you know, I'm like, I don't know where to take her. And he's like, take her to McDonald's. And I'm like, McDonald's? I want to impress her. He's like, I'm telling you, that is a really good date because it's just really special. And I was like, wow, this is going to be a cheap relationship. it's so true that it's very expensive, and it is. And I bet, and you can probably attest to this, Michael, I want to hear if most people who go in there from the States are really impressed. Super clean, super great service, hot, fresh food. The workers have big smiles on their faces and are running like crazy. They're like really excited to be there because it's a really good job. Did you experience any of that?
Yeah, and a beautiful, picturesque courtyard. I mean, it's a large, it's not a little box McDonald's like you would expect to see in the States. It's clearly something
special.
Different. Yeah.
So, tell me about spending time with your sponsored child. Is it your sponsored child?
Actually, I went along with Jesse and the others for the ride and a little bit to be a translator. And none of the kids were kids that I'd sponsored. But it was really neat to have that little bit of extra time, and particularly outside of the context where we usually interact with these people. So I've spent a lot of time with the teachers from Paso a Paso. And I thought it was amazing that all three of them sacrificed their Saturday to get on a bus and to take these seven kids down to Antigua to spend this time with their sponsors. And we just had a blast. You know, they were calling Sarah, the seven-year-old, on this week's trip. They were calling her the madrinita and kind of accepting her as the part of their adopted family. And it was just a really special time. And afterwards, we went down to the market and bought some food and sent each of the kids home with a bag to bring home to their families for something to...
Nice.
So it was just a really kind of a neat experience. typically I've spent time on Saturdays in the more kind of tourist type thing. And mm-hmm. I spent time with Jesse, and Jesse kind of took me on this tour of people. So we spent time with the children from Paso a Paso, and then we went down to the plaza and we met some other kids, families that he's met over the years here. Mm-hmm. And then we went and had dinner with Maria, who used to work here at La Candelaria. Mm-hmm. And really? So, yeah, it was just a tour of people that wow. Jesse has become friends with over time.
The Jesse tour.
Yeah, it just kind of a testament to how special these relationships are, that when you come here and open yourself up to this experience and get to know these people, particularly those of us that have been fortunate enough to come multiple times, you know, every time all week I've been saying, I didn't think I could fall in love with this country and its people anymore, and yet it just keeps getting richer and deeper, and it's just amazing. The connection and I don't know how to put it into words that you get with these repeat visits and deepening relationships.
It's so true. Speaking of return visits, Christina, how many visits have you made to Guatemala?
This is my 12th year.
12th year.
Summer here.
Wow. It's a lot of visits.
It is.
And a lot of weeks, because many of those are multiple weeks, right?
Yeah, some were 3, 4, 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3, 4, 5 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Tell us what you ate today. I'm always curious what she ate, because because she's a great cook, by the way, which I can attest to, and but she really knows her food. So, dígame.
Well, I ate the same thing I ate last weekend, because I went to El Tenedor again, and I had my hot pupusas with the ranchero sauce and cheese on top with fried eggs, and then I had a plate of fruit. It filled me up so fast. I was like, I just want to eat more of this, but I couldn't. Those pupusas are so rich, and they do the traditional masa, like the tortillas that they have here, which you can only have here because the corn is just different, and they're fresh. It's fresh corn. It's not flour. And so they do that, but they fill them with cheese or pork. And so they're delicious. So I had that for breakfast, and then I was so full, but I was like, I really want some iced coffee because it's a very warm day. So we went to a cool cafe called Fat Cat, and I live in Seattle now. I love coffee, and it's just fun to have the coffee that's here, grown here. And so this guy sources Antigua coffee, and so I had cold brew, which is awesome. It's a very strong, concentrated coffee. And then we went to Doña Luisa, which is the bakery, and everyone here who comes eats a lot of their banana bread. I know it's one of your favorites, but we, again, we're hot, so we had some more ice cream, and I had some coffee left, so I put my ice cream in my cold coffee. Ice cream float, and that was so yummy. It was great. And then we went to the 5-star hotel tonight for dinner, for group dinner. And I had these little tacos and a little bit of the chapin, which is traditional just steak with the black beans, plantains, rice, and tortillas, and some avocado, which is common to Guatemala. It's a special meal here, so that was delicious, too. So I'm stuffed beyond belief. My roommate is laying in my room right now. Like, I'm so full. She's dying. We all are a little bit. But you got to do it because there's so many good things to eat here. And, yeah.
Yeah, and you only have one day to do it. Yeah. I mean, we spend the rest of our week working very hard. And that's what I'd like to talk about next, the rest of your week. And some people see a contrast between this day and the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So, because we're at this beautiful hotel, we're eating all this food, and it's not the life of the people that you were serving this week. Tell me, what is the life like of the people you're serving? I always like to start with newbies because you have fresh eyes and fresh perspectives. So many of us have been here many times, and we don't notice all the details anymore. And you'd heard about this mission, and tell me your impression of the homes when you first arrived the first day on Monday afternoon, Tuesday. Tell me about the homes and the families and what their life is like.
So the one home we went into on Monday, they had made us a meal, And so it was neat to have somebody invite us into their home. And while on the outside it looks rather thrown together, like a child's fort might be put together with scraps from the yard, on the inside they have made it into something that they're very proud of. And, you know, they've used a lot of ingenuity, and they have nice in there, nice, not nice maybe from an American standard, but I felt like they had made their homes very nice inside as best that they can, and that they were proud of that. And I felt very honored to be in their home. They had put up balloons and posters and things like that. So, and their home may have been a little nicer than some of the other ones we went into later in the week. But, yeah, I think I was amazed at just the hospitality of the people. There wasn't like, oh, I'm ashamed of my home, or I don't want you in it, I don't want you to see it. It was very much, you know, this is where I live. And there was a little boy who was so proud of his bicycle with the flat tire, you know, and he was just running it all over the place. He couldn't ride it, but, you know, things that we, and, you know, the kid that had just the little horse that he played with for probably an hour and a half, he just played with this little horse, and he was, what, 2 or 3 years old, so probably two, and yet he could keep his attention on this one little horse for so long, so.
Interesting. Kristen, your first impressions of the families, the homes that you visited?
Well, this wasn't my first impression, but I remember the other day we were starting the fire in the stove after we had just finished making it, and we were having a little trouble getting it started, and so there was some smoke coming up through the hole in the that we had open in the stovetop, and there was quite a bit coming out, but I couldn't imagine there being like more than that, because I knew there would be more than that over an open fire, and so I couldn't imagine that they actually cooked their meals in there, because I was like starting to cough just a little bit of smoke in there. So that was one of my impressions, and I thought it was really sweet how the kids seemed a little bit shy at first, but then as you kept working they got more and more more friendly and interested. I think like curiosity pulled them out and started talking to you a little bit. So yeah, they're just really, really, really sweet people.
Did you find yourself making any comparisons from your home to their home, to your daily life and their life?
Our kitchen is really pretty clean all the time, and it doesn't have a tin roof, but
describe their kitchen.
So most of them had either like tin roofs, and a lot of them had tin walls, like what's it called?
It's like a corrugated metal tin, right?
And some of them had newer roofs, but a lot of them had old, smoky, black, rusted roofs, and the walls are all covered in soot from the fires, and floors are dirt. Well, most of the floors are dirt. There are we found a couple of concrete floors, and yeah, it's just...
Any furniture, appliances like we have in the U.S., cabinets?
No, there were like a couple of tables in some of them with some of their items on them, but there really wasn't all that much furniture in that area, so.
No appliances.
Mm-mm. No refrigerator.
No refrigerator.
Yeah.
Well, really no electricity to speak of, maybe a single bulb with the light switch, but no outlets or any of the amenities that we would just consider normal and expect to find.
Right.
Not only normal, but necessary.
Right.
I can't. If my refrigerator broke, I would have one within 24 hours, because I gotta have a refrigerator, so.
Yeah. That is eye-opening. And like you said, nothing on the walls, because it would get black. No pictures, no mirrors, nothing. Michael and Christina, you guys have been here many, many years. What stood out this week about Buena Vista or Santo Tomas in contrast to previous years or previous weeks you've been to?
Well, I'd say for the most part, the house has felt pretty similar, and you know, a lot of times you, if you got a chance to look into the bedroom, what you would call the bedroom might be a cinder block wall with a tin roof if it was a nice one. But really, for the most part, what they call their home is what we would kind of more compare more to like a garden of a lot of natural plants growing around, and it's not uncommon at all to see chickens or birds or fish, or what else do we see?
Squirrels,
turkey,
yeah.
You know, all kinds of different animals that might be either in a pen somewhere on the property or sometimes just wandering around.
We're on the bed.
There was a chicken that helped us quite a bit on one of the stoves.
Moral support?
Yeah, something like that.
Comic relief.
It's interesting, though. Several people have said this throughout the week during the worship and the time that we have in the evenings to share out about our experiences. And I'd say I would agree with it, that the first couple times I came here, I tended to notice the differences more. And this year, as I looked at it, I'm starting to see more of the universal commonalities that we have. Mm-hmm. Of they still have family at the center of everything they do. They still have... The kitchen is still the place where a lot of people hang out. I mean, even in the United States, if you have people over for dinner, where does everyone end up? Right there in the kitchen. And it's even more so here. I was really touched by something that your dad, Christina, shared, I believe it was yesterday, where they dropped in unexpectedly on a family that they had installed a stove for in a year previous and came back and got a chance to have just a glimpse of what this looks like when this family's become accustomed to having this stove. And he said that he found the entire family around this stove making tortillas, and it was clearly the center of the family and the center of the community. Mm-hmm. And I found that just really inspiring and eye-opening. That's kind of what you hope is going to happen when you're installing these, but it's always kind of hard to tell because you put in this new stove and you leave with them with some instructions about how it's best to use it, but you don't really ever know what does that look like a week later, a month later, a year later. So I was really inspired to hear that.
I got to go with him because he was like, let's walk up the hill. Like, I kind of remember this family. We're looking for another family. We went to the house, but no one was there. So he's like, oh, I remember this little pastor. Her house is right over here. And I was like, all right, let's go. And then we're, like, looking, like, through the door, and then we see this woman walk by, and I'm like, Dad, I think she's here. And he's like, okay, let's... So we knocked on the door, and he's like, hola, pastora. And she's like, hola! And she just welcomed us right in, and we walked in. I was blown away. There were, like, six women in there. They're all
making tortillas.
She had, like, 20, like, blue corn tortillas on the top, on la plancha. And she had a pot of beans on there, and she's like, do you want some beans? We're like, oh, we wish. We don't have much time. But we were only in there for a few minutes, but it was really amazing, and I was just, like, blown away. We just talked with her a little bit, and she's like, yes, I use it every day. And I just, like, it was so amazing to just see, like, they were just smiling, all of the women in there. And we were like, are you making these to sell? She's like, nope, we're going to eat them all. It was so precious, and it was just, it was amazing to see that, you know, that entire family, all those women, every single day this year they've been able to cook without their eyes burning, without them sweating, without having to use an entire week's worth of wood for one fire. And that was amazing to me, and I'm just so glad. And she's one of those people, like, her face, like, you remember that face. And I was a photographer last year, and so I actually remembered her. I don't know if I was in her house and I photographed that house, but maybe she was around at the center, and I remembered her face. And just, like, one of those people who glows and, like, just, like, has the love of Christ in them. And so it was really cool. It was just a great, like, little 15-minute adventure, and I had to climb a few hills, but it was beautiful.
And Christina took some photos of that, and you can see those photos at our mission site. Now is the time for missions.com. And you can see all those tortillas on the stove. And the thing that struck me about the photo was how clean the stove looked. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looked like it had just been installed that past week. It's absolutely beautiful. So they're obviously taking really good care of it, which is always our hope and desire, you know, and that's what we've seen. See, Don Reese and I do return visits in December, usually 4, 5, 6 months afterwards, kind of spot random, you know, we just pick a bunch of names on the list and say, let's go visit these, just to see, you know, and so that's what we've seen in these communities. That's why we want to come back to these communities, because they do take care of them. And we've been doing stoves for a long time, and some of the communities we visited in the past, we didn't always find the stove. Sometimes they'd sell it. Sometimes it was just sitting there and hadn't been used. And so part of that was our responsibility. We didn't have good education about how to maintain it or how to use it. So we've improved all of those things over the years. But they've also been much more qualified. The people who are receiving them have been pre-screened and qualified by the organization, Cuotas Unidas Niñas, in this case. So the last year, after our return visits, we didn't find one problem with any of the stoves. I mean, all the families were extremely grateful, and so that's why we want to come back and help them even more.
Well, and this week we installed, what, 85 stoves?
85 stoves.
So that story that we just heard, multiply that times 85 for this week alone, times how many weeks, times how many years that Sean and this mission have been doing that. And it's just, I feel humbled and honored to just be part of that. I was just one small piece of being able to make just a small part of that happen. But fundamentally changing the lives of these people and improving their standard of living.
It's a really funny concept. Like, we literally come from the U.S. to install appliances. Yeah. Like, I'm wandering in a village I've never been with people I don't know or not from the same culture or language, but I'm going to put these bricks together and just the impact that it has. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, these families are at least 3 to 10 people in that home, and every single day that they're impacted by this, and it's
every day.
Yeah, it only takes like an hour and a half to 3 hours to put it in, depending on the situation. But to change a life.
Talk about your bang for your buck. Right. It's only $129. Right. Only takes us an hour and a half to install it. Mm-hmm. And if they take care of it, they'll have it for 10, 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go around and ask each of you, what is one thing, more than any other thing, a moment or a person that you'd like to remember? One thing, either a moment or a person that you'd like to remember from your week here in Guatemala?
I probably have to go with when we were at VBS, the last day of VBS, and the girl came out wearing the angel wings and she sang that song. Because, the whole week, I was like, I don't know, the reality of what we were doing didn't really hit me very hard until that song, and I don't know, it just really moved me, they see us as angels, and so that was very cool.
They see us as angels, that's what she said, and that's what she sang about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That just, I don't know, that really...
For me, I worked at donations on Friday, and I was getting a child, and I would walk them around to get some clothing and then have them go over and try to find shoes. And Pauli was helping try to find shoes that fit for them, and so I would wait with them. So this one little boy, we were running a little low on boys' shoes around his size, and so she put one pair of shoes on him, and they were too small, and he said, mas pequeño, and his face just fell, like, it doesn't fit. And so then she gave him another pair, and he got excited, and he put them on, and he said, "Mas grande," and his face just fell again. And so she picked another pair, and the first two were brand new black shoes she had picked up. Well, she didn't have a size in between, so she picked up some used but still in good condition sandals, boy sandals, and put those on him. And his face just lit up when he's like, they fit, whatever that is in Spanish, you know. But his whole countenance, just the excitement of like, you found shoes that fit me. He was so excited. And I don't know, just that joy that you could see of something that was used even, you know, but it was so precious to him. And you know, and he had been so patient picking out the clothes and things, but that moment just seemed to really light him up with joy. And I think that's something that I will take back with me, is that look on his face.
For me, I'd say if I had to pick just one, I would say Señor Sonia, teacher who came from, I knew from previous years as a teacher at Paso a Paso. And she did the storytelling at our vacation Bible school, and she did just such an amazing job. She was just so animated and so energetic, and she just had these kids. I mean, sure, they twitched a little bit, but she knew all the teacher tricks, and she got them right back on track, and she just told these stories in a way that was just so engaging. And I'm a teacher myself, so I'm always looking to see how other educators do it. And I shared this with Sean last night, that I've been inspired this week to see other, I guess I'd call them educators, other people sharing stories and sharing the good news of God. And people who are just so full of energy and so full of passion, just so much beyond what I'm used to, that I've had to almost reset my own bar for like, what I'm doing as a teacher and what I'm pushing myself to be can be so much more. And also with Señor Sonia up on the roof every day with the activities. She had her microphone, and we were doing these games, and it was Jesse, Casildo, and I, and we were just, it was hard to tell who was crazy or out of control, the kids or the adults, because we were just all in. And it was just so amazing to just have that energy, and that energy then is reflected back in those children because it's so contagious. I mean, you can't be around something like that without having a huge smile on your face and without running as fast as you can or passing that ball as fast as you can or whatever it is that we were asking them to do. It was like we were at the Olympics here. It's just, and then the last day is the vacation Bible school, the kids were in the bus, and then they see me, and then they started chanting Rojo again, because they were, I was on Team Rojo, and so we were, Rojo, Rojo, and I saw them, and then we went back to the center to unpack some things, and I see these kids again, and there they start up again, Rojo, Rojo, and then they came here to the hotel last night to share with us, and I see them again, Rojo, and so, you know, that's definitely something that I'm going to take home. You know, that putting my own fears and insecurities aside and letting that true passion and energy come out and seeing that reflected back to us and the children that we teach, it's just truly inspiring.
Nice. I had a lot of just great moments this week because I was behind a camera all week long, and all just surprising things always happen. Sometimes things are hard and like you don't feel included in things because you're like the outsider just taking pictures of a group, you know, and I always feel like it's a little uncomfortable to like bring a camera into someone's home and be like, I'm here to take pictures because we're Americans and our families want to see photos of us. It's a funny thing. But I had one unexpected experience this week. I was running around literally from group to group. I covered like 4 groups in one day, which is a lot, considering that we're all in different places. And we're up in a village that's pretty far away from where we were all week, which is called La Libertad, and we were just doing a few stoves there because they really needed to be reached. And so I had been with one team, which is great, and then we were walking down the hill, and our guide was like, oh, the other group is here in this house. And I was like, oh yeah, let's just stop in, I'll get another photo of them, it'll be great. And we walk in, it was my dad's team, and this little boy is there, and I recognize him. He was at VBS the day before, and, like, this kid, I had gotten a photo from the day before, because when you, Sean, were, like, strumming your guitar really hard, he was just standing there. He's probably 4 or 5, and he's just, like, waving his fingers and, like,
for like, he's playing the guitar
with me. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he was also, like, infatuated with Rochelle, and so he was just, like, staring at her, like, completely turned around from the stage, just watching her and following her motions, and so I remembered him, and we walked in, and it was his family, and all, it was, we were doing the stove for the grandparents, but there were, like, 4 or 5 daughters there, and her husband was there, the father, and there were kids everywhere, and so we just snuck in for a minute, but I just got to interact with him again, and his mom, and the family, and I don't know, I picked him up at one point, and then we were about to take the picture, so I asked him if he wanted to go back with his mom, and he, like, clung to me. He didn't want to leave me, and we were just joking about it, and we were all laughing, and then I went to take the picture of the whole group, got the family situated, and I took one, and then I was like, uno, dos, tres, salchichas, which are hot dogs, which they cook, and they all just, like, burst out laughing, and I have this shot of them, and it's a little blurrier than the first one, but, like, you can see the change of expression on their face, like, a true, like, raw smile, just, like, joy, and it was just, like, such a great moment for me, and it was just so unexpected that I would stop at that house, see that little boy again, get to be with his family, and then we got to pray, and then the father prayed for us after that, and just prayed blessings over us, and so it was just so unexpected, and it ended up being just, like, this moment that stuck with me, and just this really, like, sweet, pure moment, and, yeah, there's just, oh, it's just so good. When you, like, we find these moments throughout the week. Like, we have a lot of hard moments. We're, like, banging on a roof for 35 minutes or so, like, exhausted, tired, covered in soot or dirt. And, like, but then we have these times where, like, we just experience the most pure joy and gratitude. And we just feel, like, this human connection, which is amazing. And it's, like, if I had never come here, I would never understand this. And I would never feel this connection, and it's just so cool. And so, it was just a great moment, and it was a great time just getting to see all of you guys work really hard and put in all these stoves, and it was a gift to see you guys work and to catch your expression and these others, people's expression of the gifts that we've been the gifts that we're giving them and the gifts that they're returning to us. So, it's great.
Well, I said this the other night after one of your slideshows, culling through over 600 photos and giving us the best of the day, and especially the pictures of the kids. One of the things I love about Christina's work is that she preserves the dignity of the children. You don't see children screaming or crying or looking really poor and sad, well, frankly, so many of our mission brothers and sisters put on pamphlets in order to sell child sponsorships or get you to donate to this, that, or the other thing. And I know that while they do it, and I get it, but I so prefer the way Christina sees these children and celebrates them, celebrates their joy and their life. And she takes serious moments as well, but it always preserves their dignity, and I so appreciate that about you, Christina, the way you capture these families like they are one of your own families, like they are your family.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. And I want to thank every one of you for coming this week. One of my great sadnesses as the director is I don't get as much time as I would like to get to know all of you. I'm always jealous of crew leaders like Michael because he gets to be with you every day, all day, and experience the highs and lows and just get to know you because you're all just incredible giants of faith in my book. But if I don't do my job to push the numbers and all the information and get resources and supplies to you, then you can't do your job. So we all have our jobs to do, and I get that. But I'm so thankful for these moments where I can hear your experiences and get to know you, all of you, a little bit better. So, in case I don't see you before I get on a plane tonight, thank you. On behalf of Domries and myself, all of the volunteers in Corazón de los Niños, the ladies from the community who were our helpers, our partners in all of this, we give you thanks. Thank you for serving our Lord and His children here in Guatemala, and thank you for sharing your stories with me on the podcast. Oh, Mike.
Can I jump in before we wrap it up and say, Sean, I want to thank you.
Yes.
You've been an amazing inspiration to me. I put you right alongside Sonia as someone who I strive to emulate in terms of passion and dedication. You've done so much through this mission to think of the thousands or tens of thousands of people that have been touched because of the work that you've made possible. And I know it's probably kind of difficult because you're not often doing that work yourself. You're setting things in place and you're setting up all of these dominoes so that that work can happen via the hands of others. But you're using your gifts and talents in such a way that is so inspiring and has made such a difference in the lives not only of the Guatemalan people that we work with, but also the hundreds or probably even thousands at this point of volunteers that have come through this mission over the years that have, every single one of them, I guarantee, has gone home, changed, a different person, and stronger in their faith. And so I'd like to thank you and Domries for all of the hard work that you do. And I want you to know that we all pray for you, and we all thank God for the work that you do.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Amen.
Very kind. Very kind. And thank you for your prayers. Keep praying. don't give that up, because that's the only way we get through all this. So thank you. Thank you all.
Yeah. Thanks.
So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, blog posts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga, may God bless you. Vaya con Dios, go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.